Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, this is Abe Thompson on the New Cyber Frontier, coming to you from the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs. Today's guest is Mr. Craig Myers, who is at the company called Business Solvers as a cloud security engineer, but he's also the managing principal at Nimbus Secure. Craig, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Hey, my pleasure. And so, Craig, tell me a little bit about your journey. You know, you got some military background, you got some other things in there to kind of build your story to get you to where you are today.
Okay, so when I was a kid, I always said I was going to be a police officer. And so my idea was I'll go to the military, get some skills, and be more beneficial or to look good when I go into law enforcement. Got into the military, got into the Army, was a signal support specialist. Started dabbling with computers and technology and radios, and ever since then it's like, yep, I want to learn more and more about technology, and that's kind of how it started. After that, I've kind of hopped around from different places, learning different technologies, and now I'm solidifying myself as a cloud security professional.
Excellent. And you know, cloud security is definitely on a lot of people's minds these days, because with the movement to the cloud, now everybody's asking, well, is my stuff safe there, and am I going to be able to access it? So I think you've picked a great track. So what types of formal education did you do, as opposed to the skills that you picked up on in the Army? Were you a 25 series MOS? Or?
Yeah, so first off, I was 25 uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was a 35 Sierra, so signals intelligence collector analyst. Spent some time at the NSA Colorado.
That's me.
Good time, learn some stuff there. Technology skills, education, I did. I have a bachelor's degree in business. I kind of want to learn some of that, because in security, a lot of security folks, they focus mainly on the technology rather than understanding the business.
Sure. And we need both. Yeah, I spent my share of time with the NSA folks. Started off there as a young bub. I was Navy.
Hold it against you.
Yeah, I know. I grew up in the Army. My dad was Army, and so I decided to honor him by joining the superior service. Just kind of, you know. So how did it strike you to kind of make the jump then and make something in the private sector of the skills that you'd start in the Army?
One of the things I wanted was to be more stable, and I like the Denver metro area.
Sure.
So it started as consideration. My family wanted to move. I mean, wanted to stay here. So yeah, that was our biggest consideration for jumping from government to the private sector.
Excellent. And how did you find the private sector once you got there? Was it receptive? Was it difficult? What was your experience like?
It was receptive. It was different. I would say I had a slow migration being at the NSA, because it's not necessarily the private sector, but it's different from being in the military.
Sure.
But one of the things that I always was worried about is in the military, you pretty much have to kill somebody to get fired.
Granted,
I haven't got fired, but that was one of the things. It's like in the military, every 1st and 15th, you had a paycheck, you were guaranteed your job, as long as you signed your contract. And so that was a little nerve-wracking for me coming out of the military.
Sure.
But the private sector was really receptive. They, every organization I worked with, they loved veterans, and they brought me into the fold and made me feel safe and comfortable.
Yeah, and I deal with the veterans here at SecureSet every day. You know, about half of them are sort of from an active duty background, and the rest, you know, there's obviously some veterans and civilians here, but that transition is a terrifying time. And you know, I've been there, done that, and you know, one of my great joys is just helping some of these guys and gals walk through that. You know, because it's scary. You know, it's a new world. You know, I told somebody the other day for our students, it's like, you've landed on the surface of Mars, and you walk out into this completely foreign culture when you leave the military, and so there's some change to be had. Now you got a lot of additional education post military. What are some of the highlights there?
So some of my highlights: CISSP, the CCSP,
yeah,
CCSK, AWS Certified Practitioner, Architect, Developer, Security Specialty. I'm actually studying for the Solutions Architect Professional.
Good.
At the moment. A plus, Network plus, Security plus. I was just everything I could learn. I kind of use certification as a test to say, hey, I probably understand this technology.
Sure, sure. Well, and they're a key component in addition to experience and education, having a sort of an industry stamp of approval like a SEC Plus, CISSP. Those things are important, and you've certainly been well-rounded. Let's take a quick break and go to our sponsor.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
This is Abe Thompson from the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs on the new Cyber Frontier. We have as our guest today Mr. Craig Myers. He's a cloud security engineer and a managing principal. Craig, you now have invested yourself and kind of brought your background and your certifications and your varied experience well into the world of cloud, right? So talk to me about your observation of the migration to the cloud, and then, you know, the security implications and why people are so nervous and all over the place on this.
Okay, that's a lot. So one of the basics, I agree with a cloud migration. I support the technology, obviously, and I think cloud is as safe as you make it, just like on-premises. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there who say, oh, well, cloud is inherently unsafe. Any technology is inherently unsafe if you don't protect it.
Yeah.
I believe if an organization was to appropriately give their security team or their IT team the tools that they need, they can deploy into the cloud as safe as they can in on-prem. What I've seen in my experience is there's organizations that this is how it generally started. It's a PLC for one workload or one app. They slide it onto the cloud, and they let like a system administrator do it. And no offense to system administrators, they're only concerned with availability.
Right.
Make sure that, hey, this app gets on, it works how we want it to work, and they wash their hands of it.
And that's the way it kind of should be from a separation of duties perspective, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But the issue is no one brings in the security guy early enough. Everyone says we need to shift security left, and so that means bring them. When you consider any type of project, there's security implications.
Yeah.
So you should say, hey, let's bring our security guy in or girl and let them review what we're going to do.
Sure. Now, how does the strategy look different, you know, to someone out there that may not fully understand the ramifications of securing the cloud as opposed to on-premises? What are some basic tenets of the difference between the strategies?
Okay, one of the basics that's the difference. So, clouds, any workload on the cloud is automatically available to the world. Hmm. That's how the cloud works.
Yeah.
It's someone else's server that you access through the web, compared to a data center that you might own yourself, where everything you put in there is essentially in a private network.
Right.
So the first and biggest thing is it's available to the world. So you have to make sure that you lock down the layers, outside of layers. So those are credentials, or those are your firewalls, SOIN, security groups and NACLs, those have to, as a basic state, have to be secure compared to on-prem when you can just put a server up on your on-premise and it won't have any connectivity to the
sure. world. Now, what does it look like in terms of, obviously there's a great savings of placing data in the cloud, so you've had good savings there. Is it more or less expensive to secure in the cloud as a cybersecurity professional?
I find it depends. So it goes to which cloud service provider you
sure,
use.
Sure, sure.
So I'm an AWS guy.
Yeah.
By trade. Yep. And there's a lot of inherent security tools that are in AWS that you would have to purchase
sure.
outside of AWS or outside of on-premise. Like security groups. Security groups is just a virtual firewall.
Sure.
On-premise, you have to buy and deploy and implement and configure those firewalls. But AWS gives you security groups for free.
Sure.
A tool like CloudTrail is an API-level login solution. And so anything that any API calls that are made, they're recorded forensically, and you can go back and you can look through it, and you can do your threat hunting or your
sure.
analytics on those. And that's another tool that's given for free with your enrollment with AWS.
And so it sounds like, though, you know, different tools, different approaches for sure. And it isn't necessarily a dramatic cost difference.
In a sense,
okay.
You're moving from CapEx to OpEx.
Right,
so instead
right.
of having the big overhead of, oh, we have to spend, I don't know how much a data center costs, but
yeah,
we're
yeah.
just going to say $100,000 for a data center for a application, and that $100,000 might not give you all the resources you need or might give you too much resources that you're probably never going to use.
Sure.
But with cloud, you can come in and you can provision exactly what you want
yeah.
on demand with a metered bill. So, and you can know exactly what you need. So, for instance, cloud is, that's why a lot of startups come in and use the cloud rather than
sure.
doing a co-location or trying to build their own data center.
Now, do you find that there's a lack of awareness of the benefit of using the cloud with the folks you've interacted with?
Depends on who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Business side, there's a lot of individuals. They have the salespeople in there telling, hey, cloud is beneficial from a profit standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Tech side, not as many people want to understand that because a lot of techs, they don't necessarily care about how much profit or
sure.
what the cost is.
They like their control locally probably and whatnot. Now, how much does a client of cloud-based service, how much responsibility do they get to shift toward the cloud service provider given that, you know, they're managing the location of data? How does that work?
So, and that's a great point and something that anyone who goes into the cloud should understand. There's their, for specifically AWS, there's the shared responsibility model. And I think other CSPs have it as well, but the shared responsibility model pretty much says this is where the cloud service provider stops, and this
okay.
is what they're responsible for, and this is what the customer is responsible. The cloud service provider, like AWS, is responsible for the physical side of it, the cloud, the infrastructure portions, the hard physical side, and that's where they stop. So they will build up the tools for you. They will build up the services for you. However, the data and the architecting inside of it. So anything that you put onto AWS, you have to be responsible for.
Okay. And I guess certainly you can transfer the availability of data and those that kind of responsibility over the cloud, you know, because they're the ones that are responsible for keeping it protected and available and keeping that service running, right?
It kind of depends on mm-hmm. the model.
Okay.
So there's three main models. There's
mm-hmm.
An infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service.
Okay.
Infrastructure as a service is the bare minimum. You're just getting resources, so you're getting servers and alike. Platform as a service, they will handle like an operating system. They will sometimes handle availability and they will handle some secrets and management like that.
Sure.
And software as a service is you're just inputting data. They handle everything. So kind of you can kind of consider like Yahoo Mail as like a software as a service. You just input your information and they do all the back end. Now, and customers need to understand ultimately they are responsible for the data. So even if a CSP has the data hosted and they've said we're going to do X, Y, and Z, ultimately the customer is responsible. So that's why you have to have encryption. That's why you have to have your transportation. So them doing it in dark, data at rest, data in use, and data in motion, you're responsible as a customer for that. Okay. So if I myself, XYZ company, put data on AWS, and God forbid AWS has a security breach or a malicious insider, XYZ company is still responsible for that data from a customer's
It's and it's still a tool, right? That is available. It isn't necessarily a transfer responsibility. That's good for people to understand when they're out there looking. Let's take another quick break and go hear from our sponsor.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
And we're back here with the new Cyber Frontier. My name's Abe Thompson, coming to you from the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs. We have Mr. Craig Myers on, who's a cloud security professional. And he's advocated, obviously, clearly for the cloud technology. And he's also helped us to kind of understand the distinction between the levels of responsibility that you have for the data. But clearly, cloud services are simply that. They're a service, but the responsibility still rests with you as the user. So Craig, as someone is looking to secure in the cloud, what added difficulties does multi-level security bring when you've got multiple classifications and those types of things?
It all depends on your understanding of the cloud. If you think your product or your workload, your application, you put it onto the cloud, if you think the cloud as an extension of your organization and the same security policies, security programs that you have internally, you try to change that to fit the cloud, you'd be a lot better off than a lot of organizations.
Okay. Yeah, so there requires a bit of understanding the technology that you're taking advantage of as a user. And so, securing the cloud, what keeps you up at night as a cybersecurity professional that addresses securing that type of infrastructure?
What keeps me up at night, and it shouldn't, but it does, it's misconfiguration, simple misconfigurations. That is the biggest threat, well, in my opinion, one of the biggest threats to the cloud infrastructure is not having the visibility inside of a cloud and being able to say these resources are potentially misconfigured. Mm-hmm. 2016 to about 2018, every other month you heard of an S3 bucket being open. When AWS clearly make tools that will allow you to say, hey, this S3 bucket is open. It confuses me because I've never met an organization that would openly allow a file share to be open to the public with internal customer data or any type of data. But in the cloud, for whatever reason, a lot of organizations, they allow that to happen, or they just don't know that that is happening.
Well, it sounds like an education, information, and awareness issue. And, you know, maybe the trick is people understanding that it's just like leaving a file share open. You know, and here's the different scenario, but same principles, same prudence should be applied, right? And so talk to me about how you, beyond sort of the S3 bucket, how do you misconfigure in the cloud? Is it different than we think about in an on-premises type data center?
Yes, I think so, because in an on-prem data center, you have to have a technician that's going to come rack a server, screw it in, mm-hmm. connect it, configure the network and appliances to allow the server to come in. On AWS or cloud providers, it's easy. It's click a button. Oh, I need a 50 gigabyte, 100 terabyte server. Click this button and it's open.
Okay.
And then people just slide away from it and say, hey, well, that server's up. It's good. It has the AMI. It has the OS operating system that I need. It's good to go. And they move on to the next thing and they forget to secure that server because of the ease of use.
Sure. Well, yeah, and that's the, you know, convenience and security don't live in the same house, so is it equally sort of stunting to an organization's growth when they have to think, you know, because they always think, oh, security means I'm going to slow down production. Is there any difference of that mindset, cloud versus on-prem?
Actually, it's cloud. Security can be as fast as the system teams, or most organizations call them DevOps teams.
Sure.
So cloud can move as fast. Cloud security can move as fast as your DevOps team.
Sure.
You just have to allow them to come in early enough so that they can get a rein and say, hey, this is what we need. Because it can be very costly to have a cloud security professional come in and try to secure your workload after you've architected and you've deployed.
Sure. So thinking, you know, from your military background, we think about some of our commanders of old, right? You know, when they go out on a deployment, they're kind of independent and out there and they're reliant on, you know, their own data systems and securing their own stuff. But I would imagine there are some military commanders that would be hesitant to rely on a cloud since it's partially out of their control. Is that a misnomer? Is that a misunderstanding? Or is that a genuine concern that a commander might have?
I think it all depends on the cloud service provider that you pick.
Right.
Now, there are some cloud service providers that are, that's well known, don't have all the accolades and certifications. Like, for instance, like AWS has like ISO 27001,
right.
PCI, all these different things. So it depends on the service provider you have. There's some service providers that are lackadaisy, and they just don't care as much. AWS is invested into being the leader in this space, so they work well with organizations that might have stringent requirements.
Sure, sure. And, you know, that's kind of leads to the next thought. There are probably people out here listening and saying, well, how do I choose the CSP? You know, how do I vet these guys? You mentioned, you know, ISO standards and PCI, some of those things. But talk a layman through how to pick the right cloud service provider, because some people might not have an option for on-premises data.
So I generally tell people, look at, as an organization, what are your compliance requirements? For instance, if you're like a health organization, you have to be HIPAA required and you need high trust, and you need this business agreements. I forgot the appropriate term for it, with another organization as a service provider.
Right, MOUs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you need to go look at the service provider and see who claims that they're compliant with this, and go check their compliance report and see who is doing the compliance. So that's what I would think. I would say go from a compliance-based approach and see who matches up best with your requirements. Now, obviously, the top three, AWS, Azure, and GCP, I'm pretty sure they're all compliant with everything that you would need.
Across those, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight into whether certain segments of industry were more or less reticent to jump to the cloud? Like, did the finance industry move comfortably? Did the medical industry move comfortably? Has the Department of Defense moved comfortably into the cloud? Or was there one that was more or less, you know, skeptical?
Well, I think that healthcare organizations healthcare organizations are more skeptical of the cloud than any other organization, I would say. But organizations like finance and service companies, they jump right into the cloud. And I think they see the cost benefits for it. Also, startups across the board, they jump straight into the cloud. Because like I said,
they have to, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to buy a data center and get it compliant and have 24/7 operations. Well, AWS and cloud service providers, they do that for you out of the box.
Why might you expect the medical community to be hesitant?
A few reasons. A lot of medical organizations have a lot of sensitive data. And when cloud really became mainstream, there was a lot of issues. People complaining about, oh, data privacy, data not being able to be encrypted or data being spilled. Honestly, it wasn't the cloud service provider's fault. In a sense, like they made something inherently unsafe. I just believe it was user error.
Sure. Just as easy as anywhere else. Yeah. Now, there may be a segment of our audience that's out here listening and you know, be very intrigued and interested in what you've done and what you're doing and what is going on in the cloud. And I'm certain that the securing the cloud is just as desperate for workers and trained people as anywhere else in cybersecurity. What's a pathway? How can I get there from here? How can I be a guy like you securing the cloud?
So I would definitely say learn the cloud. Just jump in and learn what the cloud is, how to operate. And it just kind of depends. If you have a security background, look at how you've done security on-prem. Look at how the cloud does it. Match it together to see exactly where it overlaps. And then learn how cloud does it. I'm a hands-on learner, so I have to build stuff and break stuff to understand. But most of the top three cloud service providers offer free accounts for a year. I know the AWS has a free one-year account or free credits, and you can go in and build stuff and break it down to see how it workflows. Take some online classes. Udemy, A Cloud Guru, and one of my favorites is Linux Academy. I use a lot of Linux Academy for different things. So just learn more and more and start to build and break things and then apply for a job.
Sure. And when you're applying and they're looking at your resume, you know, we've heard you kind of go through some of the certifications that you have. What are some good, in addition to that hands-on education, which you've highlighted, that hands-on learning I think is essential to retaining. It isn't just about the education theory, but it's about the doing. But then what are some of the preeminent certifications that someone might invest in first so that they look, you know, they've got that industry stamp that they're ready?
So when I get this question actually a lot. So what I tell people is if you have access to a specific cloud service provider, so if your organization uses Google or your organization uses Azure, I say go learn, go get their base level certification.
Their certs, so vendor certs in that case.
Vendor specific certs. But then if you don't have an option to be able to get to another company, start with AWS. Mm-hmm. AWS is the market leader in it. And so I say start off with AWS. Some people like to do the cloud practitioner. I took the test just to take the test. But I believe that the Architect Associate certification is the best baseline certification because it tells you the whole gamut of the core services. So compute, storage, security services, all that. The security architect, I'm not a security architect, but the solutions architect, it starts you off at the right path.
And is Cloud Practitioner actually a security cert, or is it just a more basic operate in the environment cert?
Honestly, I tell people cloud practitioners more salesy / manager.
Okay. Kind of like CISSP versus SecPlus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets you to the point where you know if someone sends EC2, you know this is a server in the cloud. Oh, S3. Oh, this is type of storage in the cloud. It tells you that type of stuff. It gives you a general overview of how AWS does things. Sure. It can help you with calculating your budget. It's that baseline. To get into something technical, the associate architect is the base level that I've recommended to everyone.
Sure. Excellent. Well, What do you think is next on the horizon in the cloud security space? What's going to be the next big thing?
The next big thing, I just continue tools for visibility and automation. I think right now, now there's some automation tools, but I think more and more tools will become inherently out-of-the-box automation. You're going to be able to plug them in, and it's going to automatically strike you. This is insecure. We're doing auto-remediation. I think that's where it's going to be moving to.
Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've had with us Mr. Craig Myers, who's a cloud security professional out there, and he challenges us to get in there and just dig and learn. And really, the cloud space is another frontier inside of the cybersecurity industry. And Craig, we really appreciate your insights, and just congratulations on your success and movement forward. Thanks for being on the program.
It's my pleasure.
Indeed. This is Abe Thompson here on the New Cyber Frontier, signing off for the day.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.